Do you all want to know what my greatest fear in preaching is? Not as a pastor. That brings a whole host of other fears, but specifically my fear for delivering a sermon. It's not that I will forget to write a sermon somehow, or that I will drop my notes, or even that I will be so boring that someone falls asleep. It's not even that I'm going to say something that offends you. No. My biggest fear is that I am going to get up here, adjust my notes, take a deep breath, and start preaching, and everything will be fine. Until I start getting strange looks from you all. Maybe the choir starts shuffling around and fidgeting uncomfortably. Then, about 2, maybe 3 minutes into the sermon, it will slowly dawn on me in horror. I am preaching last week's sermon. Oh no, what do I do? Do I keep going hoping that none of you were paying attention last week? Do I stop and move on to this week's sermon? Oh no, for that matter, did I bring this week's sermon notes into the sanctuary? If I stop preaching last sermon, will I have anything to preach now? Should I just say the benediction and dismiss you all in embarrassment? For that matter, after such an embarrassment, I'll really need to figure out how much it will cost to move to Australia. Because after all, I'm never showing my face here again. That is my biggest preaching fear. It's irrational, probably. I mean, I don't actually think that it will happen, but that's what keeps me up at night, I guess. So with that in mind, I will ask you this. Is anyone else feeling a bit of deja vu? Just the subtle sense that we have done this before. Perhaps even the slight feeling that maybe I read the wrong passage from the Bible earlier. Something was just a little bit too familiar about it, right? Almost like we had heard it already. Like maybe last week. Indeed, today's gospel reading is incredibly similar to last week's story. Last week we read the story of John the Baptist, who fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah to be a voice crying out in the wilderness. And today we read the story of John the Baptist declaring that he is the voice crying out in the wilderness, just like Isaiah said. And if that sounds redundant to you, well, then congratulations. I guess that means you were paying attention last week. It might not be my greatest fear that I will put you to sleep, but it's nice to know that you're paying attention. But while it is true that the passages are very similar, they are not exactly the same. That's actually one of the great things about having four Gospels in our Bible. Each writer is telling the same basic story. Jesus came to earth. He taught the ways of righteousness. He did deeds of power. He died on the cross and rose again. But each evangelist, each Gospel writer focused on different aspects of Jesus' life. Each writer, using basically the same stories, emphasized different things about our faith. And in this case, even though the story in last week's reading and this story and this week's reading are essentially the same, the writers were trying to teach us different things. Both stories talk about John. Both appeal to the same Isaiah passage, and the narrative of each are very similar, but they also have subtle differences. The John in Mark and the John in John each do and say the same basic things, but the John in Mark and the John in John are described in different ways. John the Baptist in Mark, the one we read previously, was, well, very depressing. His entire message was about how awful humanity was. While the narrative didn't have much dialogue, we got the distinct impression that Mark's John accused the people of abandoning their God. He called out their unrighteousness and proclaimed that they were sinners. John in Mark demanded that the people repent from their sins and turn from their evil ways, which is good. We absolutely need to do that, and that's what we talked about last week. But today, the Gospel of John emphasizes a different message of John the Baptist. If Mark's John was all about preparation for the coming Messiah through repentance, John's John was all about witnessing to that Messiah. Last week I emphasized that Mark's John did not know much about the coming Messiah. He didn't seem to know what it was that he was preparing for. But in John, things are a little bit different. Now I need to be clear. The writers of the Gospels of John and Mark are talking about the same guy. They're talking about John the Baptist. And I'm not trying to say that they were confused on who he was or what he said. But John the Baptist had a pretty long ministry. And in that ministry, he said a lot of different things. The writers of Mark and John seem to have been drawn to two different things that John the Baptist emphasized, which is really incredible because it means that they can use his ministry to emphasize different things about our own belief. Unlike the Gospel of Mark, where the emphasis was on the fact that John the Baptist did not know what was coming, but knew that the people needed to prepare anyway, the Gospel of John, to a certain extent, has John the Baptist already aware of Jesus. So, for instance, in the Gospel of John, there is no mention for our need to repent in this story, which was the big theme from last week. Because this gospel is less about preparing for the coming of the Messiah and more about pointing to who that Messiah is. In fact, listen to what John's mission was in our gospel reading today. John says, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me." In fact, later on in the Gospel, John says this. He says, "I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he, Jesus, might be revealed to Israel." While it is certainly true that John was baptizing for the forgiveness of sins, that's not what is emphasized here. What the Gospel of John is emphasizing is that John the Baptist's whole mission was to reveal Jesus. That was John's purpose, and everything that he did was for that end. John's John is less about preparation through repentance. No, John's John is more like a giant neon sign pointing at Jesus. John's John even moves his entire message into the present tense. While in Mark last week, John declares that the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. In other words, Mark said that Jesus will be revealed in the future. John's John says, "I baptize with water. Among you stands the one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me." In John's gospel, Jesus is already here. He is standing among the people. And who is this Jesus? Well, to answer that, we have to look at John the Baptist. While Mark focused mostly on who John was, today's Gospel of John focuses mostly on who John was not. In the Gospel of John, John the Baptist is described as being not the Messiah. In fact, this is the whole point of the scene in which John is questioned, and his basic response is, "I'm not the guy." But by saying that he is not the Messiah, John has the opportunity to describe who the Messiah is and point to him. And the narrator expands on this. "John came to witness, to testify to the light," it says, "so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light." John points to Jesus, and this is really when Advent starts to open up and transform into Christmas. Mark's John last week was all about waiting expectantly for the unknown, but today that light is already there. In fact, that's the amazing truth of the very beginning of the Gospel of John. That light has always been there. The light that is Jesus is the being that is talked about in the very first part of the Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The one to whom the Baptist is pointing is God. In fact, I've never understood why all translations translate this passage like that. It's not the Word was with God and the Word was God. A better translation is the Word was with God and God was the Word. It's a subtle shift, but it emphasizes what the Gospel and what John the Baptist is trying to say. Namely, that guy that John the Baptist is pointing to, the one that Mark's John could only speculate on, that guy is the light. That guy is God. We usually phrase it by saying that Jesus is God. But taking our cue from the beginning of John, we could just as easily say, God is Jesus. That is the Gospel of John's Advent message. We're not just waiting for a great guy or the great unknown like we were last week. We are waiting for our God. We have been singing, O come, Emmanuel, for the last few weeks. Emmanuel means God with us. And this is the Baptist's cry. We are waiting for God with us. He says, I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know. Our Advent message is that we are waiting for Jesus. But it is also that He is already here. We might not always recognize God, but He is here. And so there is this tension between John's John and Mark's John. This tension in our own Advents of waiting for the Messiah, but also pointing to the Christ. And it is important for us to live in that tension. On the one hand, last week I told you to go out and follow the Baptist's lead and declare to the world its need to repent. We are all sinners, and the world is a broken place. And in order to prepare for the arrival of our God, we must repent. But on the other hand, this week we also follow the Baptist's other lead, to point to the Messiah, to point to the present Christ. This is where the age-old and oft-used "keep Christ in Christmas" comes in. That is the message not only of Advent Christmas, but of the Christian message itself. The Messiah, the Christ, the Emmanuel, the God with us is here. It is not just some hope that we have that about the future that we desperately cling to. It is a present reality. And like John's John the Baptist, our job as Christian, our Christian role is to point to that Christ. And that is simultaneously easier and harder during Advent and during the Christmas season. On the one hand, it's easier. After all, Jesus is the reason for the season. And "keep Christ in Christmas" are on the tips of our tongues during this season. But on the other hand, even we Christians, with the best intent, can and do get distracted by the busyness of the season. We've got holiday shopping, preparations for family, etc., etc. And wow, time flies. We're already 3 weeks into Advent, and before you know it, it will be February. But if our lives in general, and especially during this season, do not follow the witness of John the Baptist, then we are really missing something. One of our main roles in this world as the people of God is to function as a neon sign. Everything that we do points to Jesus. And that means that we have a radical shift of focus. It is human nature to be self-absorbed. We want the glory. We want to know that we are successful and good. But if our role is to point to the Christ, then that means sacrificing our own glory. We know from other sources that John the Baptist was an incredible and dynamic teacher. He had a huge following. He was incredibly popular. Had John wanted to, he could have kept that glory for himself. But instead, he pointed to the present Lord. What that means for us is that our glories are not our own. The things that we do should not promote ourselves, but rather point to the Christ. Like John, we set aside our own want for glorification, and we praise God with all of our deeds. And when we do that, when all of our actions point to God and not our own glory, they are truly proclaiming the presence of the Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.